Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our Lord, God, Savior, and King of us all, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, to whom is glory forever. Amen. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. So he answered and said to his father, though these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlot, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please, all the deacons, be outside and remove your phone. Don't go inside the altar, please. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The third week in the journey of the Great Lent that we are celebrating today, which is the journey started from 3 weeks ago, and we go through the Great Lent, and as I said before, the sources of the virtues of all the year come from the Great Lent, that where we're working hard together in a great length to build ourselves in our spiritual life, really, from the great length. First week it was a treasure, and the church announced and said, try to take treasures in heaven, make treasure in heaven. Your heart is a treasure for you. And the second week he said, even we are going through the great Lent, we are expecting temptation, and we are tempted by the devil, as exactly Jesus Christ was tempted. So we are expecting that. But we're going to face a lot of issues, problems, and temptation from the devil. And the third week, it was this today when we already listened to the gospel about the prodigal son. Today, the church offers one of the richest and most life-giving passages, the parable of the prodigal son from St. Luke chapter 15. If you can imagine, it's like a parable or it's a story, or for example, Jesus Christ gives a story to us. It's not. It's about a story about a young man, yes, but it's the story of every human soul. Every time it is the same human soul. It's me and you. It's my story, a new story. The parable reveals to us the three stages. First stage, it's a life in the Father's house. The second stage, it's a life in a far country. And the third stage, it's a return to the Father. Let's go through this journey or this life of my soul. It's normal. It's a life of my soul. So the first of all, the life in the Father's house, first stage, the life of Father's house, the stage of innocence. You can imagine someone is very innocent. He lived in a Father's house and a place of abundance. He has everything. Safety, love, dignity. He lacked nothing. He was in the house of his father, and he has everything. You can imagine, I am the son of a very rich man, and I'm living in this house, and everything I have it in my life, everything I have in my hand. But there is another voice. He grew older a little bit, and there is another voice come to his ear, like he's listening to another voice. First one, where is your freedom? You have a freedom in your life. Where is it? You have to go outside. Another voice he listened to. Why do others seem to enjoy more? Which is normal. If I go outside to see the people outside, they are doing everything outside. They have the freedom and they enjoy. It seems they are happy. And one of the voices comes from the devil to me, why I'm not imitating them? They are enjoying outside. They are doing everything. They have the freedom. The same. He has the same voice. And he listened to the same voice. Outside, they have a freedom and they are very happy. I have to do the same. So that's why, like he was looking, this is my, I have to do it. I have to imitate the others. And why must I remain here in this house? Why I have to be in this house? Why I have rules in my life? And this is the same. Again, it's the same story of my soul and your soul. Sometimes I feel like, why I'm controlling myself? Why I have limits? Why I have boundaries? Why I have to do this, not to do the others? Why I'm not imitating the other people outside? They are enjoying and they have freedom. I'm here. I'm very controlled. I don't know why. And slowly, because he kept all that. The thought inside his heart, a little bit, the father house, the place of security, became a feel of a prison. He couldn't support to continue in this prison. The house's father became a prison. A it's exactly my soul. Sometimes I feel like I keep all the thought inside me, and the devil try to like, why you are doing this, why you are follow all the rules of the church, why you are fasting, why you are not doing this, why, and all the time I feel like it's not, I can't support, I can't endure that, that's why I wanted to go outside. I feel the church, I feel the Bible, I feel all the commandments, I feel everything is like a prison control me, and even I didn't reveal it. He can reveal it to his father. He couldn't. And how this is temptation comes slowly to start as well inside my heart. And it makes us the blessing that we have in our church, the blessing of repentance, the blessing of being Christian, the blessing of being with Christ became a restriction. And the son demanded his inheritance, and he started to ask about all the inheritance. And for me, it was strange. I can't imagine a son come to his father and say, I'm asking about all the inheritance. What he should do, the father? You're going to say no. اضرب دماغك في الحيط. I will not give you anything. Which is normal. Like if go through the story, to be logic, a father, and he has a son, and the son asked for inheritance, and after that, what I should say, Habibi, I will not give you anything. Rejecting. But what happened, it's all the opposite. The father accept to give him all the inheritance, go, take it, without refusing. And this is, for me, it was strange, but this is normal. It's normal for God. Why? He's not pushing or forcing anyone to stay with him or to love him. Sometimes I feel like God give me the freedom. Sometimes I feel like I'm like fighting with God. Why you are giving me this freedom? Sometimes I feel like no, like Matsibnish Kida. Homish Saibni, but he gives me the freedom. He will not force me to love him and to stay in his house. That's why in book of Deuteronomy 30:19 he said, I have said before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. He was asked like, again, I have said before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. I give you all. I give you the life, all, everything, and you're going to choose. God, can you choose for me? Habibi, if I choose for you, so you'll be a robot, not a human to love me by your choice. So I'm going to force you to love me, and I will never do this for you. That's why I have to choose the love, because I love him only. God respects the freedom, even when this freedom breaks his heart again. God respect my freedom, even this freedom breaks his heart. And the second stage, life in a far country, which is a tragedy of the sin. Tragedy. In the beginning, he was like, he felt the victories. He was like, yes, finally I have everything. I'm going to do everything in my life. Okay, go. The victories of the life. I got the money. I have the inheritance. I have everything. So I'm now, this is a victory. I am now in freedom. I'm free. I can do anything in my life now. He feels that he win. And he thought he had achieved the freedom, and he found friends, and he enjoyed the pleasure. Then scripture says in Luke 15:14, when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. Sin always ends in famine. The enjoy or the joy of the life, it's going to be very short. It's temporary. We will never see the happiness and a joy without Christ. If you expect and we expect that we're going to enjoy only the life with anything, it's about a short time, only temporary, and after that I will lose it. That's why the sin here, it was like for a time, he was enjoying, spend the money, and after that what happened, all the friends, plus you have nothing. From the beginning, the devil tried to let you feel that, oh, the sin is amazing, I'm going to enjoy it. But by the end, I'm going to feel guilty because I have nothing after. The friends disappeared, the money is vanished, the joy evaporated because it was only temporary. He who once lived in abundance now longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the swine ate. You can imagine someone, he was in abundance, like he has everything, he was very rich, he has everything in his life, he was in house, father's house, and now he's eating from the fruit of the peck, and he couldn't even to eat it. This is what the sin is doing with me. Saint Anthony the Great, he said, there is no greater disaster than a sin. There is no greater disaster than sin. So death, it's not a tragedy, or the poverty is not the greatest tragedy, and failure is not the greatest tragedy. The tragedy, the true catastrophe, separation from God. Book of Proverbs, he said in 14:34, sin is a reproach to any people. Sin humiliates the soul. How? Inner emptiness, depression, fear, self-contempt. Yes, this is what the sin is doing with me. When I sin, and I keep the sin inside me, I feel guilty. Sometimes I feel fear. I can't pray. Because when I start to pray, how can I pray to you? And I'm a sinner. So I'm not praying. And this is exactly what the devil wanted from me. To not pray. To not stand up before God. To not come to church. Feel guilty all the time. And this is the same as doing with me. So I have to be ready. I have to understand how the battle between the devil and between me. And sometimes I feel depressed because what I should do, how I can go outside from the sin. So sometimes God allows to go through temptation and to be under that pressure, it's like a weakness, like awakening, be awake. And the third stage, when he came to himself, turning point. This is the turning point. Amazing, a powerful verse in this parable. He said, but when he came to himself, Luke 15:17, when he came to himself, and stop here. I should come to myself every single day. By the end of the day, I have to come to myself. I have to review what I did during the day. I have to understand. I have to sit down with myself for like, and I have to review what I did this morning and this evening or midday. What I did. I have to review my actions, my deeds, my thoughts, and before God. I have to stand before God. I have to sit down, for example, for 15, 20 minutes and to talk to God. I know I'm going to review all the day what I did. It's right or wrong. This is what I give it to you. I have to review. That's why repentance is returning to who we truly are. So what happened when he started to come to himself? He remembered what? His father's house. And he remembered the servants had bread in abundance. And he said, I will arise and go to my father. Saint John Chrysostom, he said, repentance opens the heaven. It is the medicine that destroys sin. Destroys sin. The greatest sin is not falling, the greatest sin is refusing to rise. Repentance, it's open for everyone. The repentance, it's open for everyone. There's a lot of stories about repentance. It's a lot of things happened to to reveal to us how the repentance is very important. One of the servants that we served before, like one of the, like the father said about it, like he told me this story. He was serving in one of the countries, and when he was serving there, so he tried to serve at night to give the food to the poor, to the homeless. And sometimes he was like, and he found some girls outside and standing outside at like 11 p.m., 11:30. And the girls are outside, you know why the girls are outside, so what you're doing at 11 p.m. So the father, he said, like, he tried to give them some food, and he gathered them, and he tried to teach them the word of God. And when he came back to home, he said inside, and there is a voice inside his heart said, like, what you're doing, they will not change. It's impossible. What you are doing is impossible. But he was praying a lot for that, and he started to do it again and again and repeated. A few months later, he found one of the girls came to the church, and he said to him, Father, because you kept doing this, and every time you come to the street and you pray with us and you open the Bible and you preach us, I feel that God is working in my heart and I want to repent. And I want to change my life. And he was surprised because he found that the repentance is easy. So the repentance opened the heavens, as St. John Chrysostom said. It's easy to come to your Father, first of all, to come to Christ under his feet, under the cross, as I've been sure you learned, like taught us before, and to repent. And after that, go to the Father, your Father, confession and confess, because you want to clean the heart. The prodigal son did the same. The prodigal son, believe me, he changed all his life, because only he started to take a decision. It was a decision. Don't be weak. Don't postpone your repentance, don't postpone the confession. Because he knows, I mean the devil, knows very well when we stop and when we delay the confession and repentance, you will never do it. And you will not change. And that's why we are using the Great Lent for repentance. We listen to all the hymns and all the songs that we are singing in the church. And the tone of the church, it's going through the repentance. We are calling upon his compassionate God, and we're asking for his compassion, and him because he loves us a lot. And the Father's heart is the glory of God's love. In Luke 15, but when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran. The Father was waiting, always. I never saw this love like before. This is the picture, the image of God the Father, who is always waiting me to come back to him. Always, he's always waiting, open his arms. And only if he see me come, he gonna run to take me in his bosom. Believe me, if we feel we have a wrong perspective about God, we feel that God is going to be upset for me, he's going to change his love because I did sin. No, we who change, not him. He's always loving me. Even when I'm a sinner, yes, so he's loving me always when I'm a sinner. But the problem, he is only waiting to come back to him. This is only what he was waiting. He's always waiting that and come to him to repent and to confess, to tell him, I love you only, because he's always loving me. He didn't wait at the door, who was like watching from afar, because he wanted to run to see him and take him. And here is God in Book of Ezekiel 18:23. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? Again, in the book of Ezekiel, he said, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? In the first epistle of John 3:1, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. He called me a child, he called us children. And what happened after? The Father gave him what? Rob. Restored dignity. He gave him ring. He restored authority. He gave him sandals. Restored freedom. He gave him a fatted calf. Restored joy. The son, in his mind, he said, I'm gonna worship to him and ask you to be a servant. The father said, no, I will not let you do it. And he took him in his bosom and he said, I'm gonna give you everything. Then Cyril of Alexandria, he said, God restores the repentant not merely to forgiveness but to honor. Again, St. Cyril of Alexandria said, God restored the repentant not merely to forgiveness but to honor. What was lost becomes more precious was found. That's why, as I said, God is the same. He loves me whatever, who am I. He's not changing. Because we think with earthly thoughts, we think that the God is changing because, for example, if I do something bad with someone from you, so you're going to be upset from me. But God is not doing this. It's not a human. We are talking about divinity. That's why he's always loving me. The problem is me. That's why in Matthew 5:45, he said, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Saint Isaac the Syrian, he said, God's love does not change. It is we who change. You know what the problem is? What the greatest danger is? Refusing to repent. Is what? It seems like, for example, if I'm a church, so it seems like I'm coming to church. I take communion. I'm a deacon. I'm good in Alhan. My voice is good. And I'm serving. And I appear from outside, I'm amazing. This person and all the people, for example, seeing me, oh wow. He sees like a maid servant, deacon, Nabuna, whatever, like he's amazing from outside. And I keep myself like, yes, I am who I am. And I'm so proud of myself. But inside, I keep all the sin inside me like that. No one can see it. Again, we thank God that because he covered me. But this is a gift from God because he covered me. لأنه سترنا. فهو ساتر علينا. هو بس بيغطينا. بس ده مش معناه إن أنا أعمل اللي أنا عايزه أو أسيب الخطية جواي. If I'm expecting that he covered me and that this is good, I'm from outside, I'm good, I'm good in everything. مبسوط بنفسي. I'm so proud of myself because I am here at church. I'm always, and everyone looking to me, see, this is a good person, but from inside, no, I refuse to repent. And I love the people, for example, like, I'm asking the people, do you pray? Yeah, when I'm listening to sermons. Habibi, do you pray? Yeah, I'm listening to sermons. Habibi, do you pray? Oh, yeah, I'm listening to sermons. Praying, it means that I have time with God. I have time to talk with him. I keep myself to find the time to talk with him. In Apocrollos, and we are celebrating tomorrow the feast of Apocrollos, and tonight we have the Vesper to celebrate the feast of Apocrollos. He was known to ask those confessing, what is your intention now? When I come to confess, I have to know exactly what is my target, the goal. The goal is to clean inside me. The goal of repentance is cleaning.
asking him forgiveness and to change. I want to clean and to change myself. So it's a decision. My dignity is his son. So I'm not stranger from him. I'm not unwanted. As it's written in the Epistle of the Romans, chapter 8, which is my favorite chapter in the Bible. All the Bible I love the chapter Romans 8. You receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And Abba is more strong. So he said, Abba and Father. In Gospel St. Luke, he said, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So finally, we have to understand that the gate of the repentance and the gate of confession, the gate of changing, the gate of transformation, it's open for everyone, but it's a decision. And don't wait, for example, like now during the Great Lent, as I said before, it's the source of the virtue, the source of all the good things that I try to gain it for all the year. I have to take it from the Great Lent, so I'm not waiting to the end of the Great Lent. I have nothing, so I have to start to repent quickly. The robe from God is ready, the ring is ready, and the feast also is ready. Two days ago, I was attending a funeral. So when I was like, I know this person, and they talked to me about this person. So when I was given like this small sermon and during the funeral, so I said, Alhamdulillah, assalam tak. We are expecting that we are living on the earth. Yes, we are doing, enjoying. God gives you everything on the earth to enjoy, which is 100% I'm agree. Because we have to enjoy the life. But don't think that we are staying here. We are not belong to the earth, or we belong to the heaven. That's why when I said in the funeral, Alhamdulillah, ala salamtak, khalas mawusal, hawa mish min hina. And I said there's like that, like, داخلين كلنا واحنا داخلين السماء داخلين بزفة المفروض اسمنا مكتوب فاحنا داخلين بزفة. That's why we are not belong to here. That's why God is opening every single day the gate of repentance and confession to come back, and he is waiting. هو فتح حضنه هو مستني هو عينه عليا طول الوقت هو مش سايبني بس برضو مش قادر he don't want to force me to love him. تعالى بس هو بيقول أنا بحبك بس اديني بس كده يعني تعالى بس وأنا هاخدك في حضني. And he's doing everything to let me come back to his bottom. God gave us this opportunity, the Great Lent, to go to repent and to confess and to come back to him. It's a good opportunity. عشان كده ربنا عطانا الوقت بتاع الصيام ديت نرجع له مرة تانية. There's one of the absolution we did by the end of the liturgy, right before the communion. I can read part from it. Remember, although that I'm talking, this is absolution silent. So I get listen to what it's so deep. I can read it for you. Remember, O Lord, my own weakness, and forgive my many sins, and where transgressions has abounded, let your grace be multiplied in abundance. واغفر لي خطايا كثيرة لأن أنا داخل المفروض أنا كمان عندي خطايا. وبعدين قال حتة غريبة قوي, وحيث كثر الاسم فلتكثر هناك نعمتك. It means like again in English. let your grace be multiplied in abundance because of my own sins and abomination of my heart. I pray, but في الحتة بدي بيقول كده, weakness and forgive my sins, and where transgression has abundant, let your grace be multiplied in abundance. You can imagine عكس بعض. يعني إيه كل ما تكسر الاسم خطية يكسر معها إيه؟ نعمتك. In the beginning when I wanted 40 days for not the monastery, كنت أفكر بقى إن أنا فاهم كل حاجة وبتاع, فبقول لأبونا الكلمة دي فيها حاجة غلط. فأبونا بيقول لي أنت هتعدل على القداس ولا إيه؟ ده تفهمني. He said to explain this word, God, he tried to multiply the grace to let you know that he loves you more, even you are in sin. But he wanted to save you. فربنا بيحاول يحوطك ويزود من النعم بتاعته عشان تشوفه عشان ترجع. هو ده ربنا. هو ده ربنا اللي نعرفه, محب اللي بيحبنا ومستني بس ان انا اقول له ربنا بحبك. ربنا يدينا نعمه وبركه في هذه الايام المباركه, ونتعلم من رجوع ابن ضال الى ابوه ان هو مستنينا ولهنا المجد دائما ابديا.
Truly we believe in one God, God the Father, the Pontifical Creator, Creator of heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen.
Son,
Epi prosepkis tathete,
esmo erenepon.